here to celebrate diversity, not be afraid of it.
Alyssa Mack and Josephine Lau, all the way from Australia.
Hello.
Hi, Andrew.
Guys are friends. Are you both originally from Australia?
Chinese background, but I live in Sydney.
And who is this right now?
Alyssa.
Alyssa, okay. And Josephine?
So I grew up in Hong Kong for the most, well, I say most part, but it's half of my life I spent in Hong Kong. And then I moved to Sydney to finish my last couple of years of high school. Met my husband and then stuck with him in Sydney. And
you sound like a bad thing. I'm sure it's not though.
No, just... we're good. And okay. Then I recently moved to Melbourne as part of his relocation for work.
Ah, okay. I'll stay with you, Josephine, so we can single out one voice per question. What kind of activities were you into growing up?
Look, I loved body work. So I grew up, you know, I believe that everyone's just born with a tendency or a gift, you know, physical sports even.
Yeah.
Like tennis, I was always into like gymnastics, grew up loving figure skating. So I did skating about 10 years, dance and just body movement stuff. So I really enjoyed that as a physical practice. So I think that why and how I've chosen to go down the path as a yoga teacher now.
And Alyssa, what about you? What kind of activities were you into, youth into your formative years?
I was quite sporty, but I wasn't more into dance when I was young. It was more like, I was actually really into tennis, ball sports, and like running.
Yes.
So it was quite, I guess like quite more Western sports. I came into primary school. So I moved to Sydney when I was in primary school.
Yeah.
So I did like cricket and all those like very Australian sports, but I was quite sporty.
So how did you make the leap into yoga?
I actually, it was quite a transition for me. So I did a lot of weight training for a few years, and everyone was saying to me, oh, you should really get into personal training. There's many personal trainers, and it just felt like it was very competitive, the market, and it's like nothing stood out a lot. And I felt like a lot of women especially was very intimidated by the gym, and they preferred working out at home. I actually found yoga because my personal life was just really busy. I always burnt out, and I started really enjoying yoga, but then I wasn't really sure about it because there was, as you know, like yoga has a very spiritual part of it as well. And I wasn't really sure where it was really leading me. And then, so I actually became a Pilates instructor first.
Okay.
I thought, you know, it's kind of close-ish, but not quite. And then after 2 years of teaching Pilates, I just said that. I just knew that my heart was with yoga, and then I just went into training and became a yoga instructor.
There's different thoughts about yoga. I know spirituality is certainly a big part of it, and connecting with a higher power doesn't necessarily tell you which higher power to connect with or what path to take you there. What was the issue that you had with it?
So like as I explored more yoga, I realized that it was, you know, it's up to the person practicing to decide, you know, where they're seeking their spirituality on the mat, because everyone's different. For myself, I'm a Christian. And of course, you follow the guru that teaches you. And if they don't align with your own belief, sometimes it could feel a little bit, oh, I'm not really sure. So that's why I stopped. But then when I started my own practice, I developed my own style of practice, and I found that a lot more comfortable. So I think it's just more like finding the teacher that aligns with your views and everything. And so that's just, and then I found that balance. And then so I could practice without feeling like it interfered with my own faith or anything.
Both of you are instructors, and you have a joint venture together called Grace and Strength. Can you tell myself and the audience more about that?
Yeah. So Alyssa and I, she touched on a little bit about how she found yoga. She actually came to one of my yoga classes about a year and a half ago, seeking a practice that aligned with Christian too. And I did have the same struggles as Alyssa for a while. Like, how do you align it? And I actually have a niggling question for you, Andrew, which please remind me to ask. So 2 years on, we started getting very close. You know, it grew from like just class attendance to partnership or yogi twinning. So we did a lot together, and we're just like feeling this calling that we could do something together to help other Christians realize that yoga is not just for a particular religious group. It can be available to Christians. So Grace and Strength is a community that will help Christians realize that they can come to yoga as well. That's that. And it's open to everyone. But
so what was your question for me, just so I don't forget?
My question for you is, I often wonder how a secular yogi, if I would call you that, like someone who doesn't have a particular religion, but, you know, a yogi that all accepting, you guys view us as Christian yogis.
Everybody of all different religions practices in the studios that I trained in and in my own. I do have my own religion that I practice, which is for my wife and myself. I don't share it. I don't walk around and wear it. And it doesn't affect my yoga. I will say this. If a homosexual comes to your studio, will you let them practice?
Absolutely. Yeah, why not?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what about what it says in the New Testament about homosexuality?
But we're all accepting of anybody.
You don't believe everyone. In what it says in Corinthians 6, 9, 10? The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be...
You know what?
Sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's from Christianity, New Testament, right?
Absolutely.
It's not inclusive to me, does it?
Okay. I'm going to jump in, and Alyssa, you can add on. I think that it's not for us, man, to judge. There are rules that the Lord has given, and He applies those rules to say, this is the way I think you should live so that you can have a life without brokenness, so to speak, right? But everyone has some sort of brokenness. Homosexuality may be one. I have my own very broken issues, right?
But you're using yoga. You're using the name of yoga, and yoga does not speak bad about gays and lesbians.
We're not trying to speak bad of it at all.
You just said that, like, a gay person is broken.
No.
I believe that everybody is broken in general. Like, we all have our own, like, no one is perfect, and we're all broken.
I think it's a universal thing. Like, we all have an issue with life. As I think we're taking brokenness maybe too literally, sorry. And if I'm offending, that's not my point. My point is, I have an issue with life in general. We all do. And I think that it's not for us. And just going back to your question of why, if a homosexual walked into my studio, do I see him differently or in a way that that... You know, living against a certain rule, so I need to judge you. Like, who am I? Who am I to judge? Look at myself in the mirror first. I've got a ton of issues myself. So why should I say you're better or not, or you're worthy of yoga or not? I think it's a completely separate subject to yoga anyways. What are your thoughts on this so far?
If you're attaching Christianity specifically to the name yoga, then according to the belief system that's in the book, which I just read, it is judging.
I think how we're approaching it is to say that we want to allow a space to invite anyone to come. But when we guide meditations and everything, we will just do it in a way that is according to, I guess to us, it's like our beliefs, like what we think love is, what we think, you know, just like what faith is, love, joy, peace, patience. Like, these are the things that we teach in our class, just according to, like,
but
things.
You're reading Bible verses. How could it be all inclusive?
But, like, because, like I said before, the guru that I trained with had his own belief system that he'll lead with, and everyone can train with different teachers that align with their own system. And so I think it's just everyone creates a space where they invite everyone to come, and if their students align with their system, then they would like to practice with them. And I think that's just kind of how we're going about with, like, just in anything, even if we don't call it Christian, it's just yoga in general. But I'll still be teaching meditation that according to my own beliefs, because I will only teach things that I believe, right? And you would teach the things that you think is beneficial for your students. And so I think if a student would come into our studio and think, oh, this is not for us, and that's totally fine. And would you agree that that is how yoga is always passed on through teachers to students? And there is different lines of yoga, and students find the one that aligns with them most, and then they just stick with that teacher, and then they learn yoga from them. Would you agree that's...
You're connected to Holy Yoga Ministries, yeah, which is here in the
yeah.
U.S.,
yes.
Which is to worship, praise, and form an intimate connection to Christ. So how is that all inclusive?
Anyone can come to the events. Anyone can come to the classes.
But it's not yoga.
Oh my gosh, it's absolutely yoga. Let's go back to what yoga is for you.
Please tell me what yoga is.
Tell me your... I'd love to know what your perspective is. And this is why I find it very intriguing. And I that's where I came from. The beginning of the question, I had this niggling question. I really need to find out how the, you know, all-encompassing yoga community views me when I walk into the room. That's what I want to know as well. So what is yoga?
Yoga is union to yoke. So everyone's welcome. There's no judgment, and mm-hmm. there's a connection to a higher power, but nobody tells you what that higher power has to be.
Correct. So I completely agree with that. And I feel like there is a space for people who believe is the biblical God, then they're free to choose that. And I think that that's where we've been called to. And there are others who've been called to, but they feel like, oh, yoga is reserved for a specific group, and they may be Hindus or Eastern philosophy rooted people. And I feel that's not true. Exactly as you said, it is for people who are seeking the divine power, or whatever that divine is undefined in a yogic perspective.
To me, yoga is just a space to invite people to practice three things specifically, what I believe yoga is: breath work, meditation, and movement.
And Bible verses.
I don't necessarily teach in Bible verses. It just means that they probably know that this instructor is a Christian, and her meditation and guided things will be according to her belief system. But I don't use scriptures necessarily in my teaching, because I know there are people who are not Christians in my class, and I just teach certain things that are like I told you, like maybe the fruits of the spirit. Like, it just depends on that day, the energy of the class, what I feel like the class needs.
But you guys are part of Holy Yoga Ministries, correct?
Yeah, we were trained by Holy Yoga Ministries.
Okay, so they say teachers globally that run the classes, they offer worship, praise, and intimate connection to Christ. I would assume that Bible verses would be included in that.
It's every instructor has their different style. I teach mine with, I have Christian music played, sometimes included with other music. But I don't use scripture to teach. But maybe if we're teaching in a church setting, I might use scripture to teach because I don't want people to feel necessarily left out. So it really depends on like what event it is. I don't want people to feel like they're not inclusive. So it really depends on the energy of the class as well. So sometimes I might have something planned and I turn up to class and I feel like, oh, actually, I feel like this class maybe needs a certain different topic. And then so I might not go according to what was planned. So sometimes it's really hard to say.
Do you think that putting the name Christ-centered on yoga is just a way to make a profit off of it?
I think there is a lack in, that's for me and Joe's personal experience, is we found it hard to find a space that aligned with our faith. And so we wanted to create the space where Christians could feel like they are included. So that's where, because there's so many places.
What made you feel excluded at the space? Because
this is a question. Can I just jump in, Andrew? Joe again. Look, this is exactly going back to the question that I had at the beginning. So how do the general yogi community view us?
We don't.
So exactly. So I think that there is this, I want that question answered for myself, to be honest. Like, and I think this is great. For me, this is wonderful. This is needed, this conversation.
But I will say, I've reached out to Brooke, the woman who runs it here. They've not gotten back to me. I've reached out to Holy Yoga here in America. They've not gotten back to me. And I think they're evasive because I think that they are monetizing yoga. They have nonprofit status here in America. And I know that their trainings are quite costly. So it's there's a lot of profiteering off the name of Christ.
Right. Look, I think I'll leave that for Brooke because we're running Grace and Strength, and I don't feel like I'm in a space to comment on what Brooke is doing. We were trained by her and we absolutely loved the training because it equipped us with the tools that could help us teach good yoga, but also be able to speak in a language that a Christian would feel encompassing in our classes. Not to say that we want to shove the gospel down anybody's throat. Like, that's not the way we want to do it.
Can I ask you, when you went to the secular yoga studios, what made you feel excluded?
I think the chanting sometimes made me feel quite uncomfortable.
Every studio you went to chanting?
No, only some studios. So that's why some studios I feel more comfortable. It was totally okay. But there was some that chanted quite a lot.
Okay, but you could have found one where they didn't.
I only found one studio at the moment near my area that doesn't. So, and that's the one I go to myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
The truth is, from my experience, some people do, the minute we walk in, go, oh, you're Christian. Why you even here kind of look? And I get that. So,
I've never seen anyone walk into any yoga studio. Any yoga studio I've ever been to has been like the coolest, most open-minded places. That's what drew me to it. And I wouldn't even know how to pick out someone as Christian. How do you decipher someone?
Oh, I think because sometimes when people, for us, it's very easy. We've got our profiles online, and if they go, oh, where did you practice or where did you get trained as a teacher? I think it's, then it brings up a very interesting subject. We're like, oh, Holy Yoga. Oh, what's Holy Yoga? And sometimes when I blatantly say, oh, it's a Christian form of yoga, you get this, or a conversation as that we had. And at the end of the day, if I have to go in a studio every single time and have this conversation, it can be tiring.
I don't know where you're practicing, but if you looked at me, you could say I'm Caucasian. If I looked at you, I could say you're Asian, but I can't say you're Christian. So I don't even know how that would even come up.
It comes up all the time for me.
Where are you going?
It comes up a lot of time because I strike conversation. People like, oh,
you
quite like
conversation. Your conversation. So you're looking for it.
Oh, no. What? Oh, come on. They're very nice
yoga
people.
Yoga is a community.
Yeah. They yoga love chatting. Community. And they go, oh, where do you practice? It's such an easy conversation. They go, where do you practice? You did a really nice flow. And I go, oh, yeah, because I teach. Oh, yeah. Where do you teach? Where do you get trained from? The minute I say Holy Yoga, generally people are nice, right? They're curious and they ask. When we respond, the minute I throw in, it's a Christian. Anytime I say Christian, sometimes I get a look of genuine curiosity and go, oh, tell me more. Sometimes I just get the flat out, that's just weird, man. You just weirded me out.
Well, I mean, practice whatever you want to practice and believe in whatever you want to believe. But if you're attaching yoga, which is to join, to yoke, to unify, but you have this Christ-centered attached to it, and you have these verses, which, again, there's a lot of homosexuals who practice yoga, and we're looking at verses that just condemn it and really, you know, harshly. How could they coexist? It's a paradox. It's like, makes no sense.
Andrew, can I ask a question? What do you think about the yoga practices which chant to other gods? Like, not Christian specific, but how about those, like, how do you view them?
I think it's fine.
Is that fine?
I mean, it's fine. I've been in classes like that. And if it weren't for me, there's plenty of other studios to go to.
Yeah. So I feel like that was how I don't know about job, but I myself felt like if there is this space for them, then why can't I also create a space where it's to my God and people who align with my God can feel
very comfortable. Because Christianity didn't create yoga.
Oh yeah, it didn't create yoga, but like you said, it has this meditation part to yoga where it's for people to seek their divine. And if there is a space where people can seek different divines, then for me, it's my divine. And there's a lot of other people who would like to seek the same. And so I'm just creating a space to welcome all and everyone, like any other yoga studios. And if people align and likes the teaching, then they can stay. And just like how I didn't align with my guru's teaching, I left. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's just dependent on, yeah, everyone has, I guess, we just felt like there was a need to create a space because some people didn't feel like they fitted in.
Right. It doesn't have to be a studio where there's chanting. However, if it is a studio that there is chanting, okay, or it's bhakti yoga, it's devotional yoga, it's mm-hmm. chanting to the origins that it came from, the Vedic roots. So there's no argument to that. You have to respect it. You may not like it, but you have to respect it because that's the root that it comes from.
It's very debatable because from my research, it was dated longer, but it's not a religion. Like, you know, yoga's not a religion. It was a practice of meditation, breath work, and movement. And it's no specific deity that it was worshipping. But people can use it to worship.
Sure.
And people have. But the origins of it is not a religion. Would you agree?
I would agree, yeah. I mean, if you look at the Yoga Sutras from Patanjali, which is what I subscribe to, it's all-inclusive. But Christianity is not all-inclusive.
It's more creating a space.
Come on.
Because if I go to all the workshops that me and Joe have been to, most of them chant, and we don't feel comfortable. And so what if there can be a workshop that just doesn't? People will be like, okay,
there's plenty. I don't know where you are, but there's plenty of places.
It could be a cultural difference.
We're in Australia.
We're in Australia. It could be different, but the people here who practice yoga can be quite hippie as well and quite different from the American culture.
Okay, this is going in circles. Let's just end it here. Josephine Lau, Alyssa Mack, we can agree to disagree. And if you're in Australia, check them out. Grace and Strength. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
We came here to celebrate diversity, not be afraid of it.